This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, by the hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? It's great to be back in the bunker. United, big 3 points. It wasn't pretty. I wasn't even sure we were going to get it, even though we went a man up to start the second half. That first half was ugly. As ugly as it gets, some bad football. Much better in the second half. We created some chances. We also kept them in it, even a man up, which was not great to see. But most importantly, we got a result. Ronaldo got a good goal. Bruno got a great goal. He had a great game as well. And it's a big 3 points. You know, we had luck went in our favor today a little bit, but I'll take it because the VAR gods had not been kind to us. And we needed a little good fortune, sir. How you feeling?
We flipped the script at Old Trafford. We got 3 points. We came out. After a horrible half, get our goal, Ronaldo, with the difference maker. Also, De Gea bailing us out. Like you said, sir, it's been a rough go at it. Some tough draws. That loss to Middlesbrough in the FA Cup. You draw Burnley, the builder, sir. You draw Southampton. And then, you know, we're drawing up the table. But, hey, we pip them. We get 3 points. Big red card for Dunk. Shout out to Alonga for that high press there. Look, we could always play better, but this time it's results-based business. We're playing against a choke artist for top four. You just got to get away with them every once in a while.
For sure. For a team that, you know, couldn't buy luck on the side of the highway, we needed the fortune to kind of flip our way, and it finally did today. There's plenty to complain about. You could definitely pick this game apart. It could have easily gone ugly. It could have easily been a draw. If the red card didn't happen, if we didn't get that goal. But that being said, there were some good things that we saw today. Ronaldo with a good goal. Bruno, I thought, had a really good game. Even Lindelof and Maguire at times, okay. I mean, McFred were not on their day. It wasn't for them. But, sir, we move forward. Now it's just about picking up points. Like you said, we're battling out with choke artists. We are a bit of choke artists at the moment ourselves. But it's only us in the top four race. I mean, it's like, it's on us. If we do it, we can do it. Nobody's going to like go 10 straight. We just have to win these winnable games and play better football. And today's a start.
It's a start. I don't know how confident of a start it is, but you know, when you're off a slide, like we're on, anything helps. The red card helps. Moment of brilliance from CR7 doing the C at Old Trafford. That boo around the stadium at halftime. I haven't heard that noise since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer got sacked. That kind of felt, hopefully that's the bottom for Manchester United, that halftime with the fans booing them. That you don't ever like to see that at Old Trafford. And, you know, they probably deserved it after that really tepid first half. And I hope that we can find some form because we got a big game Leeds away and then Atletico Madrid in the Champions League away. I just want these lads to fight. I just need to see that passion. And we did not see that fight in the first half. That was the most lackluster, going through the motions, letting Brighton enjoy their football at our house. As a fan, that hurts to see. But hopefully this can spur us on, sir. I'm hopeful that we can find something because we have big games coming up and even bigger opponents in March. And I just don't want to go through another slide like we saw under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer before he got the sack.
I'm in the same camp as you, John. You know, it's like, I'm hopeful, but I, you know, just like you, I watched that game today and you sent a photo to me of me earlier last year watching us lose in Villarreal. I think that was me watching the penalties. That's how I felt at times today. That first half was tough watching, you know, You don't hear a lot of boos at Old Trafford for good reason. They're not used to seeing football. And it's also not United style. We're not a Real Madrid. But today was boo quality. That was boo earns football. That was bad. That was bad football against a team that we know is pretty good, you know, for their size, but they weren't even on their game today. Brighton didn't look that sharp. They didn't look like the normal Brighton team that is super, super dangerous, because I think they would have taken advantage of a really weak United side in that first half. But that being said, we need whatever we can, because there are big, big games coming, and this is an interim manager that has had everything thrown against him in terms of the press and internal strife around players pissed off. So whatever you can take, 3 points is great, and it also doesn't help when, like, two of the guys who have been under the spotlight for maybe stirring shit up, Ronaldo and Bruno, both getting goals, both having good games, can only help, you would think.
Those two playing well are going to go a long way against Leeds and Atletico. You would hope they could find some form, sir. Quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. If you want to hang out with some Muppets, also talking some cheeky banter on the side of the couch, you could join our Discord channel. It's great. We have over 300 members. We talk on match days, talk transfers, everything in between. If you're looking for a Discord community, that is absolutely awesome. Check out our Discord channel. You can get an invite. It's pinned to our Twitter page. Just click on that link and you can jump in. Also, if you want to support us, we don't have any sponsors on the podcast. You can join our Patreon. Visit our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We give away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. We do a behind-the-scenes podcast episode every single month. Check us out. We think it's the best way for you guys to support us. We want to keep this podcast, keep this community sponsor-free, and just do it for fans, by fans. Also, check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Great fan-generated blog content there. Also, check out our store. You click on the store, you can find our merchandise, beanies, shirts, stickers, pins, scarves, everything there. Sir, tell about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews or Spotify reviews, five-star reviews, wherever you listen to the American Red Devils. It's a great way to support the pod, and we're still giving away free merch. All you have to do, write a five-star review wherever you listen to us. And send a screenshot of that to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. Hopefully it's a five-star review. That's very cheeky. Should be five stars, of course. And send it to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free American Red Devils merch. It's a sign of appreciation. Great way to help us get found organically and get yourself some free gear. So do not hesitate on that, sir. You ready to break this game down? Man United 2, Brighton 0. On paper, it sounds so, so sweet.
Played at Old Trafford, if you could believe it, based on how we came out. Let's get into that lineup. Dave saves world number one in net. Luke, the impossible meat pie. Shaw at left back. McGuire, Lindelof center back pairing for Ron dropping out. He must have eaten something that didn't agree with him there. Deleau at right back. McTominay playing CDM. We had Bruno on the right, Fred on the left, and then we had the front three of Alanga, Ronaldo, and Jadon Sancho. Sancho on the left, Alanga on the right. Sir, what'd you make of that lineup?
You know, I was hoping to see Lindelof and Varane, and then when you had Lindelof and Maguire come out, you know, that was a little bit of a shock. I guess, like you said, Varane, that's a bad whatever. Something didn't agree with him, and he had to pull out right before the game, but I was happy to see Rashford got the drop. You know, I thought Rashford needed to get dropped. Ronaldo, I was a little surprised because he just had played. But Alanga getting some minutes. Sancho obviously having a run at it. And I was hopeful McFred would not put up a McFred first half like they did, which was like as bad as I've seen them, because they have looked promising at times under Ralph, but they were not good today. But what did you think of this 11 when you saw it?
I mean, this is the motif of this match is if you can't beat them, join them. I think Ralf Rangnick has tried to get the lads to play differently. I think we saw like spurts of it, I think, against Crystal Palace back when he took over. And then, you know, all this leaking and drama, the players just don't want to play the way Ralf wants to play. And here we are. switched to it 20 minutes in, 4-2-3-1, McFred with cheese in front of the back four. Bruno up top with Ronaldo pretty much playing, as like a false nine. You know, this is back to Ole ball. I think Rangnick sees it. And you have to be a pragmatist at a certain point and say, hey, we need points. You know, we're not pressing. We're not doing nothing. And, you know, I think we're seeing that right now. So if everyone blamed Dole and he got sacked and then you bring in a new manager and the players are whinging and then they're not playing well, then who's to blame?
It's a very good point, because they basically did play Ole ball. It looked just like Ole ball in the first half, right? There was no
counter,
no ability to pass out of the back, no ability to pass through the midfield at all. It was all sideways passing, same shit. And then we actually, when we did score, how did we score again? Counterattack, counter, counter, counter. That's Ole 101. That's how this team has ever best done it. So maybe that is the formula, sir. We're gonna go back to basics, like that original Bruno run when we first bought him back in the day. That took us all the way to sixth place. Remember that?
Hey, top four means a lot to this team. It means a lot to Rangnick and to the Glazers' pockets. So he'll do whatever it takes. Let's get into that first half. United come out a bit nervy. And our house brighten up for a match. Third minute, bad clearance from De Gea. McGuire with a good block. And then fifth minute, Dave saves after a bad Fred giveaway. Fred had a rough game coming back into the team post-COVID. And then sixth minute, after this rocky start, boom, hit him on the break. Ronaldo backheels to Sancho. He had a great opportunity. Did not finish. Ronaldo already throwing the arms up. Did not get the pass back from Sancho. End-to-end stuff. We're able to get a chance, but we're giving up two on our end and felt like it was going to be the type of day.
It did. I mean, you would like to see a goal here early because we had a good chance. I mean, they certainly had theirs as well. It was good to see Ronaldo passing. You know, that was a good sign, a good omen for the day, and I think that translated to some good play from him all around because, you know, he's oftentimes just taking the selfish shot, but set up a very good chance for Sancho, who arguably should be finishing that.
15th minute, you know, on the break, but Alanga hesitates. The youngster, he hesitated on making that run to the left, and the defender gets there first. 17th minute, Brighton cuts right through United, gets a shot on De Gea. This is sort of when Brighton was building into the game. The problem here was United was sitting off of Brighton, giving them the ball. Brighton was enjoying their football, passing it easily through Manchester United. You look at the pass map from the first half, they had their way with us. We couldn't do nothing in the middle of the park. Brighton controlling the game in our house. 34th minute, United giving the ball back in a great position, but Fred with another bad giveaway. And I believe it was around the 20th minute, you saw the video of Rangnick saying 4-2-3-1.
I didn't see that, actually. Did he?
We tried to play the 4-3-3, came out, McTominay at CDM. You had Fred and Bruno in the pivot, Bruno on the right, Fred on the left. You know, we talked about the midfield in the last podcast. We were trying to play it like that. And boy, did that not work. So he said, you know what? Screw it. Fred can't pass for... That's the whole thing. We couldn't pass.
We couldn't pass. It was terrible. Pass. It was terrible.
So instead, you know, Fred can't pass the ball. Hey, you can just stand in front of the defense. That's kind of what we decided to do. It didn't look much better. But for me, it was... Felt like the players going through the motions. Testimonial pace. The commenter said it. Testimonial pace for Manchester United. That was really the problem. 39th minute, Dave saves certain goal. United bending, not breaking here. 40th minute, Basuma misses a great chance after United are just looking worse and worse by the minute.
There was a spell where it's like, you get it. They booed for a reason. We haven't seen football that, I mean.
No fight.
It was bad. It was like, I mean, God, it's, we know. Have you no decency? It's like, we just like know the depths. I mean, it's like, I thought Liverpool, I thought City, but today it's like they were walking around against Brighton, Hove Albion.
Just nothing in it.
Nothing.
You know, like
testimonial.
Here's
pace.
The thing.
I mean, that was savage.
When
was
Phil
right.
Jones came out to play for United, I forget who it was against, but he, that's the
Wolves,
thing.
Wolves in a loss, I think.
I think it was like, you don't have to play, like, you don't have to be a good player, but man, he tried. Like, the effort was 110. He gave everything he had in his tank. And it's like, I'd rather have a team of Phil Joneses out there against Brighton. You know, like, I just didn't have that feeling. It was really, I think that's why people are booing, because that's the one thing that's inexcusable, is the effort. So the mentality. 42nd minute, Alonga earns a free kick on the edge of the box. You texted me. Ronaldo's kicking into the wall. He shot at the wall.
I knew it.
That was the half.
That was the half. I couldn't.
What do you think Rednik's telling the lads at halftime?
I don't know. I was shocked there was no halftime subs because it was such a gallingly terrible performance. You know, like we had some chances, and then like the last 20 minutes, we just like it looked like you said, like someone pulled the plug on the Xbox. You know, we just it looked like they were just like they didn't realize they were playing a game for Premier League points. So I don't know. I would imagine he's throwing all kinds of hair dryers. But what do you think Ralph was saying to the players?
We got leaks. We got players throwing their arms up. We got players not arguably questioning the effort here in the first half. It looks like a team of individuals. This first half, this is a red flag in and of itself. This first half. Look, second half, you know, there's some bright spots there. But again, Brighton with the fight with 10 men. But that first half really shows you HD, something's up with this team. And that's concerning me for the next couple of matches. Because if I saw some fight and just not going our way, you know, because you had arguably had the XG and the other two draws, you know, arguably Middlesbrough, we got done hard done by, and you expect them to come out and like find something, fight. And that to have that be the reaction this first half was a little concerning, you know, overall for kind of where we're headed here. Second half, no changes. Like you said, I was surprised. We need something. 46 minute. Handball shout from a corner, nothing doing. And then, so let's get to the goal. This is the bright spot here. This is why he came back to Old Trafford. I mean, what a goal.
Now Ronaldo, as Manchester United turned it over. Ronaldo taking it. But Roman is team leading.
It's about time, first goal of 2022 for CR7, and it was a beaut. Sorry, he still got that in his locker. World-class finish from the edge of the box with players all around him. We needed a goal like that. We needed a goal like that.
Amazing goal for Ronaldo. Amazing finish. And look, this is what happens when you get at Brighton and you remember that you're Manchester United. They fold. I mean, we looked great here. 52nd minute, Elanga pressing the Brighton center backs, making him make an error. Dunk takes him down, gets the yellow, and then obviously VAR checks. It's a red card. Thank God VAR giving us one. I didn't think this was clear and obvious, honestly. Like, I'm surprised they gave it to us, but great. That's great they gave it to us. I'll take the red card. Hey, I said it in the Discord channel. We really need to be pushing. This is the moment. Hit three more, hit four more, start running riot, get that momentum. It's exactly what we need for Leeds and then the Champions League. And then, oh no. We put them under pressure, but man, Brighton fought back with 10 men. Nervy at times for United here.
You said it. I mean, you said the first half was damning. It really was. You know, the rot runs deep probably at this squad. This was bad. This was damning too. Like, you should be, like going nuts. Whoever the commentator was like, they should be absolutely swarming them. In numbers, the whole rest of the second half. There's no excuse. They have numbers.
But it felt like Brighton could pass the ball better than we could.
Dude, we did it for 5 minutes, and then they just went back to the same old shit. And that's, like, the most disheartening thing. It's like, you have the lead. You have a man up. You need to score some goals. You should have the bit in your mouth, and you should just be, like, attacking in waves. And that's what's damning, sir. It's like, we had some good chances, but like, we were up a man and they had some pretty good chances and they could have easily equalized multiple times. So we got a result today, but barely. You know what? We had the luck went our way and luck has not gone our way elsewhere, but there are still some major problems, which, you know.
One of the bright spots was Bruno was all over the park here. You know, we changed to the 4-2-3-1. You know, he gets up. He's getting on the ball, creating chances for Ronaldo. 66 minute, nice ball to Ronaldo from Bruno. Couldn't get the header. Ronaldo should have arguably, again, like if you look at his chances over the last couple of matches, this is one of them. Great chance here, missed it. Bruno, 71st minute, missed a sitter after Ronaldo gets the ball from the keeper at the edge of the box. 73rd, this is the big sub here. Pogba for Fred. I do think things changed once Pogba came on. This seemed like the halftime sub.
Should have come earlier. That's what I said. Halftime, yeah. But it should come at like the 55th minute. Fred was playing bad, and we knew we needed Pogba. That's been the biggest issue with Ralph is like he definitely makes subs too late, later than he could. And this being one of them, like this could have been made 20 minutes earlier because, you know, he made a big difference, I think.
75th minute, Ronaldo misses a dunk header after another great ball from Bruno. 78th minute, Brighton hit the crossbar. I thought this was going in 100%.
Nice hit.
1-1, another draw. Look, they arguably should have gone in. De Gea beaten. Unbelievable hit. 79th minute, Rashford and Telles for Alonga and Sancho. Rashford didn't do much here. 81st, Bruno with a great shot. And then 90th minute, Welbeck came on. I thought it was like this had Welbeck equalizer written all over it. I thought he could. He had 90th minute, great opportunity. Should have done much better.
He had it.
With a header there. Brighton with arguably the better chance after they go down to 10 men with that crossbar hit. And that Welbeck one was close. We did create more opportunities, but like you said, it should have been more one way when you kind of go up. And then, sir, let's get into the – we did ice it. He deserved the goal. 97th minute, Bruno. Let's go.
Deserved the goal. Nice goal. Let's go.
Manchester United's way, and that will be back. Free kick taken quickly. It's Bruno Fernandes with the last attack of the night. Ronaldo square to his left-hand side.
Sir, outrageous goal from Bruno Fernandes, showing a little bit of that daft touch. Just slow down, pivot, fake out the keeper, and blast it. I think he needed that. I think this team, you know, maybe this is what we need, is like a confident Bruno does bode this team well, especially if we're going back to basics, 4-2-3-1. You know, that does, on paper, bring out the best in Bruno. We saw some of it today. A goal should only add to that.
Absolutely deserved the goal. I really do think after we changed the formation, Bruno really started to shine, especially in the second half and going up a man. He was all over the park. So good on Bruno, sir. Team stats, 19 shots to Brighton's 10, 7 on target to their 3. Possession of the ball, Brighton 51% to our 49. That even is including the red card at our house. Brighton played well. They look to be enjoying their football at Old Trafford, a theme that has continued. I don't think we've seen teams enjoying it as much as since we saw the Scouse Bastards come and sweep 5 past us. But hey, we got 3 points. Brighton have never won away against Manchester United in all competitions, drawing 2 and losing 11 of their 13 visits. In the top flight, they've taken just 1 point from a possible 24 at Old Trafford, losing all 4 visits in the Premier League. And Paul Pogba has registered 8 assists in the Premier League this season. Only Trent Alexander-Arnold, 10, and Mo Salah have more. And oh, by the way, he's been injured for an insane amount of time. But what do we know, sir? Let's check in with the manager, Ralf Rangnick.
The manager said set your questions if you'd like to raise your hand. Simon Stone.
Hi, Ralf. Congratulations on the win. How important was that victory to you and to the team? And now you're back in the top 4. How big is it for this club to finish in the top 4?
Big, but we still have quite a few games to play. Obviously, after the last 3 games, with 3 draws, 2 of them at home, and in all 3 games being 1-0 up, this was a very important win. And even more so after the first half of today. Today, for a change, we had a better second half than the first half. And in the second half, it paid off that we were more aggressive, that we were trying to intercept and to attack them in higher positions. And therefore, yes, highly important win for us.
Harry Whitwell.
Hi, Ralf. What did you say at halftime then? Because there did seem to be a noticeable change immediately after the break with the, you know, the winning the ball back high up. And if I may just ask a second question, you brought Alex Telles on the wing late on. Juan Mata's on the bench. I just wondered, he's not featured for a bit, Juan Mata. Is there any, what are your plans for him this season, I suppose?
Yes, I mean, of course, we told them at halftime. The question at halftime was, do we change formation or do we change the way that we attack? And we decided to stick to our 4-2-3-1 and told our two wingers, Anthony Langa and Jadon Sancho, on the ball side to attack the center backs. And that would mean, and that meant that our fullbacks had to jump to their fullbacks, which paid off both when we scored the goal, but even more so when we had that situation with Anthony Langa and the red card for Dunk. And from then on, it was a different game. Of course, we should have killed off the game much earlier, should have been 3-4-0. And again, we were not quite convicted, or we were not lethal enough in those moments to kill the game off. And then again, in the last 5 minutes, it's always dangerous, even against 10 men. You can concede a goal. So it took very long until we took the game to bed with Bruno's goal. So the second question, yes, of course, their right side with Lamte was the dangerous side, with Lamte playing up front, almost like a right winger in the last 10, 15 minutes. And that's why we decided to bring on Alex Tellez to support Luke Shaw on that side.
Harry Cottrell?
So that's what Ralph had to say. You know, Ralph didn't like certain things, happy with the second half performance. He talked about what he said at the halftime. Sorry, he talked about sticking with he's like, you know, should we switch formations? Should we make changes to the 11? They decided to stick with the 4-2-3-1 and have the wingers push more forward and have the fullbacks push up more to their fullbacks, which they did, which led to the goal. But he still talked about, like, they had to be more lethal. They have to, you know, their pockets wouldn't control it. So I think Ralph's seeing what we saw, but you could tell watching him celebrate on the touchline, this means a little bit more. It's been tough going, all these draws and also all this shit in the papers. It's been a lot for any manager, any interim manager. So a big 3 points for Ralph as well as the United faithful.
Absolutely. And checking with the table, Manchester United are in fourth, 25 games played with 43 points. Chelsea, they've played 24. They're on 47. Obviously, so many games in hand in the fight for top four here. So West Ham, 25, 41 points. They're in fifth. So you have a 2-point lead over West Ham. But then Arsenal is the big kind of question mark. They have 22 games, so 3 in hand. They have 39 points. You assume they win all of those. They're going to be on 48, so 5 points ahead of us. And oh, by the way, you got Wolves involved in the mix. They have 2 games in hand. They'd be tied with us. They won both of those on 43. They're right in the mix. Tottenham fading.
Your boy, Conte, skidded.
But still
ever since
it.
He said it, he's skidded like a Moyes, like an Ole. That's a skid.
I'm going to tell you, if you're going to argue who you want at Manchester United,
I'm
right
just
now,
messing
him,
with,
him
I'm messing with you because you toxic because you were talking them up like 3 weeks ago, and then they lost 3 in a row. That's all. I'm just giving you shit, bro.
No, I love it, but it's like, I still think.
You maybe, imagine how bad the fallout Mourinho would be? Conte would like, this crew is so soft. He would like.
No, I know, but we need to weed out the week here. So Tottenham, 22 games. They have 3 in hand. They win all of those. They'd be on 45, so it'd be 2 points behind them. Again, a lot of math here. We're right in the mix. The team that's on the rise. Now, if you just want to say, okay, United, rough patch of form here. Let's look at the last 5 league games for all teams in the league. The top 2, no surprise, are both Shitty and the Scouse Bastards. They have 13 points from their last 5 league games. Then behind them, in third, is actually Wolves, and then we are actually right behind Wolves at 11, right? So you want to look at that. We're fourth in the league as far as last 5 league games form. We've won 3, drawn 2, and we're here moaning. So at the end of the day, things are not – that was a huge win, huge win for United today. Huge 3 points, no matter how we got them. No matter how lackluster the first half was, we're looking at this race for top four. We really needed those extra points. We got them. And if we can just get through this rough patch, similar to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, where we had to just ride out these, it looks bad, it's rough, doesn't pass the eye test, but then somehow you play well against Atletico, and then you're ready to go in March against the big boys, and you show up in these big games, and everyone wonders why the hell you couldn't beat Burnley the Builders. That seems to be what this team has been in past seasons, and maybe we'll see it again. I'm hopeful, but we're right in the mix, and that's the glass half full take, is I still got a hope for top four, so don't kill it, baby. Don't kill it, United, please.
And there's no reason that we shouldn't be in it, you know, because it's a good point talking about form. And the most important point is, like, who else is in the mix? You know, the biggest group of bottleheads you could ever find. The most worrisome is, like, Wolves going on a real run, because actually they're a serious team. But like you said, I think those two draws could have been wins. Obviously, like, today had its question marks, but there's a lot to hold on to. And I think what maybe could be promising is, like, the return to basics, you know, 4-2-3-1, as much as we hated that, as much as it necessitated us to play on the counterattack, the teams are about to play beyond Leeds are teams that, you know, we probably want to play on the counterattack, like the Atleticos and the Cities of the world. So it might be a good time for this team to go back to basics, sir, and play Ole ball.
Now, it goes upstairs. It goes to the boardroom. The real reason why we're kind of in this lull and we can't find any form, and the, you know, we had an interim manager come in with half a season. He tried to implement some style, couldn't get it to stick. Then we revert back to, like, okay, whatever you guys, hey players, you win, whatever you guys want to do,
you choose.
Right. Because Rangnick doesn't have the authority to do so. And also he's not on the hot seat, right? He's going to leave at the end of the year. Like, there's no pressure for Rangnick. So say if we actually were had the gumption to go get, hey, even if it is Pochettino, pay PSG 30 million, get him in, and then I think you wouldn't see us. I think you would see a little more from the players. This kind of feels like the substitute teacher performance, testimonial performance. That's kind of what we're seeing. So I have to blame the Glazers running the show, because at the end of the day, I just think if you had a new manager, whoever that manager is, even if Rangnick was the guy, if he was the manager, I think you'd see the players acting a little differently instead of leaking to the press. They want Poch and all this and all that. I just think this kind of, we're in purgatory. Ole ball purgatory, substitute Ole purgatory. That's kind of what this feels like. And we'll see what we get out of it. But I hope when the new manager comes in, you see a little more from these players, you know, versus testimonial FC.
We're like a testimonial club, bro. I'm about to say we're like testimonial FC.
You paid a lot of money for testimonials.
They were going through the motions today, but you make a great point. And it starts from the top. And what kind of tone does it set that, like, we haven't decided because they don't know what they're doing yet? It just kind of, it speaks to the lack of organization and intention behind the club and how they're going about their business. And like you said, they're going to have a substitute teacher performance. They probably will continue to do so. You know, he's motivated. I know Ralph is, because he's always looking to impress. But, and you think these players would be as well. So winning's infectious. I think we keep winning. Results help. This is at least something to build on. We got a next match.
I'll tell you ain't going to be able to go testimonial pace when you're playing away at Elland Road, which, by the way, is full of shit. That's right. Leeds scum versus Manchester United Sunday, February 20th, 6 a.m. Pacific. Ooh, I like that extra 2 hours of sleep in.
It's big.
9 a.m. Eastern, 4 to 30 a.m. wake up. That does mess your day up. Lifetimes versus Leeds scum. We've won 48. We've drawn 36. We've lost 26. First time we ever played them was January 1923. We drew in the second division. Last five times we've seen Leeds, won three, drawn one, lost one. The one we lost was in the FA Cup in 2010. A little while back, Sir Alex Ferguson was still at the wheel. Leeds form coming in. They beat Burnley. They lost to West Ham in the FA Cup. Then they beat West Ham in the league. They lost to Newcastle. Then they drew Aston Villa. And then Everton just beat them up. So Leeds is kind of limping into this game. They're going to be looking to get up for the War of the Roses. This is going to be a big one in their house. Dan James, by the way, most likely will be starting, a player that, you know, you look to the board, probably should not have sold. But they're going to be up for it. It's going to be a tough game.
It's always a tough game. It's always a tough game against Leeds. They're kind of in a relegation. They're not in a relegation fight, but they have a little bit of breathing room, but they'd like some more room from the bottom. So, like, this is a massive match. They're always playing high-octane football. They're going to be throwing wave after wave at us. You know, he has to hold the line. And actually, I think we're well-suited to keep going on the 4-2-3-1 and playing the counter because you know Bielsa can't help it and just throw everything at us. So just hold and, you know, use the counter attack that we have to our advantage. Just hold that line. You got to rely on a decent defense, but I would imagine that's the plan heading into this game. Dangerous Leeds side no matter what, but I think we know the formula. We beat them 5-1 first game of the season with Ole. Like, there is a formula to beat this team. You just have to, like, they throw everybody at you, and then you counter them, and we have been good at that.
The rivalry, this is a huge one. It originates from the strong rivalry between the historic counties of Lancashire and Yorkshire. It dates back, sorry, I want to say 1600s. It's absolutely incredible. And that's sort of where you get the War of the Roses theme from the 15th century. The Lancashire, obviously Manchester United being the red rose and the Yorkshire being the white rose. The cities of Leeds and Manchester United are only 40 miles apart. And the rivalry really heated up when hooliganism was was in form in the 1970s. Hooliganism is not really in form anymore, but when it was, this one was hot and spicy, sir. On the field, hostility became more intense over the years during the 1970s when British football hooliganism was at its height. Fights between Leeds United service crew and Manchester United's Red Army, two of the most notorious hooligans firms in Britain, were commonplace and became known as some of the most violent clashes in British football. Many people are injured in these encounters, but violence between the fans of the clubs has declined sharply for a number of reasons. And obviously the rivalry has been quoted as being, you know, English football's most intense and inexplicable rivalry. I think it was sort of the, obviously when you talk about a derby, the Roses derby, Leeds and Manchester are very close, but then you sort of have both clubs and both firms being big at the peak of British football hooliganism. I think that's why there's such this fierce rivalry between these two sides. Don't like each other, sir. We're going to see it on Sunday. I am absolutely pumped for this one, but in a game like this that means so much and you're going away to Ellen Road, you can't play like you did in the first half here at all. This is a game where you get two or three by you before you wake up.
That's the thing. This is like all of the ales we've had. You know, we can't do them. You can't sleepwalk. You can't think a 1-0 lead is good, even if you get a second one in the 96. Dude, they're going to keep throwing bodies and throwing bodies and throwing bodies at us over and over and over again. And we have to be able to hold the line early, like you said, because they could get a couple of goals before we even, like, figure out what's going on. Because this team hasn't even shown when we go down are we necessarily responding like we used to respond, where it's like, holy shit, we went down. It's kind of like we have to go to half to figure out what the hell is going on sometimes, which is worrying. So you want to start this game strong, come out. Early goal would help. Early chances, but we got to take those chances. Talk about it. Manager talked about being lethal. This team has not been lethal enough. Two of your most lethal players, Ronaldo and Bruno, being hopefully back in form, should help.
Bielsa played the 3-3-3-1, a formation I've never seen before.
Neither have I.
Against Everton. I think it's some sort of attacking diamond with Rodrigo at number 10. Dan James leading the line at number 9. Rafinha on the right. He looks to be giving the impossible meat pie some trouble for sure. Who knows what they're going to come up with? At the end of the day, Bielsa's a madman. I'm more worried about the atmosphere and sort of the intensity I know Leeds is going to bring from the jump and how United looks to be sleepwalking as of late. The passing out of the back, the passing through the midfield is something in the modern day game that we need to get a hold of. And boy, Paul Pogba's going to need to start here. Looking at the injury list, we have Bailly. Hopefully he should be back. He's in training. Sir, we're in the fresh Tezos kit. Matic, no return day. Cavani, same thing, no return. Varane has an illness. Obviously, we don't know exactly what it is, but given those injuries, what is your lineup?
This is who I've got. I got De Gea in net, world number one, DeLow. He took AWB spot. So, yeah, it's going to be Lindelof, Maguire again. Tell us. I'm going to give him a go at left back. Fred, Pogba, Bruno in the midfield. See if Pogba can do that holding job with Fred against the lead side. He should be able to. And then a front three of Sancho, Rashford, Ronaldo. Got to get those two going. I know Rashford hasn't looked in form, but, like, damn, man, he's got to play himself into form. He should have chances against the lead side on the break. Who do you have in your 11, sir?
I would say Dave saves, world number one, Annette DeLow. I'm going to say Lindelof, Maguire. I don't think Varane's going to be back. I'm going to say possible Mipai. Shaw stays in. Pogba, McTominay, Bruno. Then I'm going to say Sancho, Ronaldo, Elanga. So not many changes here other than the Pogba coming in for me. I just think that's what you're going to see. More Ole ball against Leeds. It's going to be interesting. You can flip a coin. No, you don't know what it's going to be, but the bookies have it. Leeds plus 290, the draw plus 280, United minus 115. Given those the odds, what are your score prediction?
Like you said, I mean, the atmosphere is probably going to be the biggest thing. This is a team that we should be able to handle well, but I think this team is fragile. I think it's going to be 1-1. What do you got?
I'm going to say 3-1. It's going to be open game. It could be 3-2, but I'll say 3-1. United win. Dying for the points on to Atletico. Cannot wait for that. I'm not going to let any of this shit football ruin what will be a glorious knockout stage night in Madrid. Sir, I can't wait for that. Should we get into the news? United in the news. Per Fabrizio Romano, Ralph Rangnick would love to keep his job and be Manchester United's permanent manager, but the club want to be 100% sure on the next appointment. Manchester United need a shock. They need something different, something fresh.
So that's from, like, the GOAT.
Certified fresh. Rotten Tomatoes certified fresh is what Manchester United need. Manchester United need new ownership.
Yeah, that's what they need. Exactly right. They need just to be fresh, new owners.
Just remember when everyone's talking about what's wrong with Manchester United. It's the players. It's the coaches. Who's our next coach? Who are we going to sign? And it's like 80% of the talk should be about the Glazers sucking cash out of this club, being completely absent, not coming to any games, not caring, saying they're going to redo the stadium, not having a plan, saying they're going to communicate with the fans, not doing that. Basically lying, letting the training facilities rot. Like, if the fans and the media, I feel like the media just kind of goes in one direction. And obviously, as fans, you don't want to be thinking about the balance sheet and cash flow stuff, but it's like, this should be all about the ownership. Like, why is there an interim manager? Who invented this concept of interim manager? Ed Woodward. Look at, if you just go down the deals that United have done, Schweinsteiger, Depay, Schneiderlin, Darmian, go down the list.
Too many.
Of
the list
all
is
the
too
bad
long.
Players they bought and sold for nothing. And it's just like, they're bad. And so we just need to be shining the light on that. And yes, we need something fresh, but that something fresh is new ownership with an attitude that they want to win. We're in the battle for top four. This is a top four owner. This is a money first owner. That's where we're at as a club. So Rangnick, I'm good, dude. I'm good on Rangnick. What do you say? You give him the job?
I think I would let him pick the next guy. I don't need to, he doesn't need to be the next manager, but I think I would listen to who he thought might be well positioned to be our next manager. Whoever, Man United needs a shock. They need something different, something fresh. Man United's right. That is exactly what Man United needs. But like you said, that's not going to come in the form of a manager, because it doesn't matter whether it's Rangnick or Ten Hag or Pochettino or Pep Guardiola, dude. It don't matter, because the Glazers are still running the show. Richard Arnold is not qualified to have his job, because he's as qualified as Ed Woodward was, because their qualifications are around keeping money in the Glazers' pockets. And that's what nobody talks about. I know we talk about it ad nauseum. Probably people get sick of it, but really, it is the root of all the problems. That's the shock they need. That is the only. No manager that they can think of is going to give a shock and something fresh and different. It's like that is all from the top, and unless they're going to rip out the CEO, which they should also do, they put in a real DOF, which they are not going to do. You know, all these things they're not going to do, but. So this is all messaging. This is all bullshit. This is all them playing the Neil Ashton game. And, you know, they're not going to listen to Ralph.
No, but I think the question is, does Ralph get the job based on his performances to date? You said you didn't answer that. You said, oh, he can pick him, but you don't think he should get the job.
He doesn't need to be the manager next year. Like, but I think he would have a good insight into who would be a good next manager. He said he picked out Nagelsmann. He's picked out like other really.
No, I understand that. But you're saying no then. You're saying no, he should not be the manager of Manchester United next year.
If like options that he's like, you can go for this guy, but he's not available until the year after, and I can steer you through, I would be like, sure, dude. Who else we got? Like, I would be fine with it, because you know what? It's better than who we've seen to date. I mean, he seems like he could at least make deals in a non, like, let's buy Declan Rice for £100 million, like something that's a little bit more creative. So I would be for that, but they're not going to do that. They're going to go for a big splashy name that will give him a distraction and make it seem like they're doing something fresh.
I'm talking about the manager. You're talking about Declan Rice.
Sir, I'm saying, yes, he should help appoint the next manager.
No, I'm saying the question is, should Rangnick be the permanent manager of Manchester United?
Probably not. But he should be like the director of football at Manchester United. Saying. He should be the director of football and have a big say in who's the next manager.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I would say, I think as far as Rangnick and being the manager, I would agree, no. I think it's too much for him, only because it's such a shit show. Right. You know, I think exactly. He is used to hungry professionals who like just where they are in their career. Like you said, first or second big contract. He's used to that hunger. He doesn't need to like motivate overpaid, you know, whinging players. I really think that is something that's very unique in today's game. Obviously, he's taking a lot of time off and things change. So I think that having him upstairs would be valuable. But on the touchline, just him coming in and trying to play a different way or train a different way, the players are whinging and leaking to the press. However, he's handled himself very well. I just think that it's probably a young man's game at this point. We need to kind of get younger. Ten Hag's the guy to do it. You look at his record in the Champions League this season, his team's playing unbelievable. Apparently, our insider on our Discord channel says he doesn't want the job. And who can blame him after seeing kind of how we're playing and the roster and the bloated wages we have? So,
but the papers say that Ralph wants Ten Hag, and they haven't said that Ten Hag doesn't want the job. It said the opposite. So just a contrarian, but that is what the presses are saying. So I think he wants Ten Hag. I think Ten Hag would take the job in a second. He might not take the job because he smells the shit show here. And I think your point about like he would be a great manager if you put him in, like he'd be a decent manager if you put him in like a Brighton side with that team with those hungry players.
Exactly.
That aren't a bunch of like lazy, overpaid, prima donna, fucking like hype monster. Like, dude, this team has become so rotten because of the management. You know, they've allowed it to kind of fester. They've managed these contracts so poorly. They player manage. They've allowed the players to become bigger than the coaches. And of course, that's too much for him. That's too much for most people. Conte, you said, was the best man. He's probably is, dude. He's probably the chop job you needed to come in.
Burn it down.
Dude, he would crack skulls. And he needed to crack skulls. And Ralph did like a less intense skull cracking. He was very direct, very straight. And the players just whinged. He wanted them to run, bro, and press. They just whinged. It's like this team is just soft.
It's like my son doesn't want to go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's literally the same thing. And like Rangnick's saying, all right, you win. Like in a little, because like at the end of the day, he's not there to fix it. He's there to just kind of like manage it in the, like substitute teach. That's kind of where what he is. And you talk about things going sideways. Getting to the next article here. Everyone's freaking out about this. Gary Neville reveals he knows the identities of the disgusting Manchester United stars leaking dressing room secrets using agents, PR, and marketing teams to brief against Ralph Rangnick and his staff. The Ted Lasso, that's a riot, calling that Chris Armas guy Ted Lasso. That's pretty funny. Then they talked about who they wanted.
They just couldn't not print leaks, that. It was just like, too good. They probably made it up, but it was too hot. That headline is too clicky to not write. Like, they just couldn't not do it. They had to do it.
No, they're leaking. They leaked the Ted Lasso, then they leaked they wanted Pochettino, then they leaked they didn't like his training method. Yep. Like, so there's a lot of leaks coming out of this club. And then every Muppet in the universe that's United fan is thinking about who could be the leak. First things first, we're never going to know, so it doesn't matter. Although you would want to know so we could all like basically shame him out of town. It'd be great. But we're never going to know, but this shows you the mentality, right? So when you have players saying, oh, we don't like these training methods, like, yeah, go write an article. Like, imagine thinking that way when you're playing for Manchester United, that you don't like his training, so then you're going to go tell your agent to tell the press about it. And then you see this team play like that in the first half. That sounds about right. And so when you add all this crap up, it's concerning to me. When you watch them play. So if they're playing well and they're leaking shit, who cares? Nobody cares. But when you look at them show up the way they did and you see all this shit, and it's like, Gary Neville, have some stones. Just tell it. Like, if you're going to say it, then
you got to say it. You got to out
him. This is the thing about Gary Neville.
Like, I know. He acts like he's a fucking like tough Gary guy. Neville. I know. He should have said it.
I like Gary Neville, but boy, did he back up Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Like, he wouldn't say anything bad about Ole. And that pissed me off because, dude, you're a pundit. You're supposed to, like, hey, man, your friend's in the arena. You got to say good or bad, right? And he didn't. He completely. And then it's like this stuff with the players, and he's, like, not going to say. He's trying to warn them off. He's trying to say, hey, stop. And then what does that make me think? It's an English player. Because if it was, like, Ronaldo or Bruno, I think he might have had a shot. You get what I mean? So I do think Gary Neville plays that game a little bit.
And he's more in the English circles.
Boys.
Right.
Yeah, and because he coached for England. So who do you think it is? My gut says it's an English player. That's why you won't say it.
Yeah, I think it's probably multiple players.
No, you have to pick one for the pod. We're Muppets. You got to pick one player. Who leaked they want Pochettino?
Sir, that's so bad.
I know. You got to go on. You got to say.
Like, I think of the many leakers, like, of course, Jesse Lingard. Like, I know he's leaked something along the way, but he wouldn't make the most sense because he's leaving. He wouldn't give a shit about the next manager.
No, he wouldn't give. That's the whole point.
Jesse, but he could have leaked other shit. He could have leaked the training's rubbish. Or the guys.
So I asked you who leaked the potch. It's not Jesse. So
Rashford. I would guess Rashford leaked that, bro.
I think it's Harry. I think Harry is getting.
That
the
also
most,
makes he, sense. That also makes
he,
a lot of sense.
The reason why I think Harry is because he's getting the most shit. Everyone's shitting on him, right? They're saying he's playing horribly. Da 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 da. Like, he probably feels like it's not him because he plays well for England, so he has no problem. Like, it's similar. Like, he took a photo with a fan after Ole was sacked. He just seems like tone deaf. Like, he seems like a little bit like of a numpty, like doesn't get it a little bit. And I think his attitude is kind of what leans. Like, I want to say Luke Shaw because he's been there the longest. I know he leaked against Mourinho. But I think a player would be like want Pochettino. Like, that type of stuff would be probably Harry. I think Harry would enjoy it. Like, when he's getting railed that everyone's saying he's not playing well, he would enjoy it.
You're doing full conjecture, but it, the more I think about it, it could be Rashford. I mean, who's played, who's had like the biggest drop off? You know, like Sancho's on the uptick. Rashford, Ronaldo, dude, Rashford has not played well, continues to play poorly, hasn't featured.
People say Hendo, but Hendo posted it wasn't him. Like, I think there's a lot, like, what was the article that said that 17 players?
But this is also like when they're That was after we lost the Wolves, because it's also a product of like, what are the results? When you draw games and the fans are pissed, you get more of this shit. If we're winning, if we won those games, you get half as many leaks. It's just, you know.
Well, here's the thing. The leaks, okay, it's fun to speculate who leaked. Okay, whatever. But the fact that there are leaks shows you that this team is broken beyond broken.
Because like, his comparison, right? No, just to cut you off, sir. Neville's comparison about Chelsea back in the day was a very good comp. He's like, when I used to go back to England and the Chelsea players would bag on the, you see the dysfunction of the Chelsea team, dude. It's like, he knows what kind of dysfunction looks like. And now that is pervasive at Manchester United.
Yes. It's because what do we do? Chelsea wages. Everyone's here. Bunch of mercenaries. Come on. Everyone knows that. It's like at the end of the day, like Harry Maguire is like, I'm paid. I'm fine. Like I play for England. Fine. You can hate me all you want. I'll just like say what I want. And this is the modern day game, but how many people at Shitty are leaking? You know, it's like, there's a certain about it. Like, you ain't got time to leak if you're focused on winning games. And it's like, this team, that's why when this is like a turning point for me with the Rangnick kind of saying, hey, you know, fuck it, 4-4-2-3-1, whatever.
whatever these idiots can do.
Yeah. And that's what it feels like a little bit. It's kind of, they moan, they whinge, all right. Martial, you can leave. Okay, Lingard, go on vacation. Okay, fine. Play 4-2-3-1. You don't need a track back. Don't worry about it. I'll just get to the summer and get the fuck out of here. That's what it feels like a little bit. And so, like, I hope we can turn it around and find that form and then find that unity. I felt like last year that moment was when we came back against Tottenham. I think Cavani protected Greenwood. I forget who was getting in Greenwood's face, but Cavani came in and you saw that togetherness, that kind of fight. I felt that passion in that team, and I was like, there's something special here. I feel like we can win a trophy. Unfortunately, we all know what happened.
Could have. Needed to.
No, but you know what I'm saying? We had that like togetherness, that fight. Like, you're back against the wall, you know, mentality, and I feel like this team is just wilting and whinging and leaking, and that's just... And until we see that turn around, and maybe that won't turn around. Maybe it's a new manager. Maybe it's like blowing the team up. Maybe what it is, but it just seems to be toxic. Something's festering at Old Trafford. Obviously, it's the ownership. But now you got a festering ownership. You got a horrible board. You got numpty management top down. And now you got a substitute teacher and a bunch of overpaid babies, really. And it's like, how no one can sort that chain out. Top to bottom, right? So it's going to, I feel like, kicking the can, and we always talk about that next title.
It's going to be a while. You're going to need new owners. You're going to need a new fresh start. Manchester United, they know they need it. They're right. Whoever leaked that or told them that or gave them that piece of fucking soundbite is right.
Why are people leaking that?
That's like Richard Arnold or Edward. That's literally like,
yeah, but those guys have employees. Why aren't they coming out and being like, these guys don't know what the hell they're doing? This place is like got no soul. Like, that's what people should be leaking against, not the dressing room.
Bro, they're literally, you know, leaking like, that, like, we're not going to do Ralph, even though he wants to be the next manager, because we need a fresh start. We need something like, we need like a big change. Like, sir, they have no idea. They have no idea what they're doing, bro. They have no idea what they're doing. You can just like read through the bullshit, because that's bullshit that is being given to one of the numpties to give to Romano. It's straight from them, dude. It's straight from them, because they're just like, they're just fucking throwing their arms around, sir. And we're
all about controlling the narrative.
Exactly. It's all just like spin. It's all a spin game. It's all Neil Ashton spin game. And this is a big part of that. And Ralph, like, the way they're going to play Ralph and then throw him out, like, it's a big part of that, dude. Like, you think he's a consultant? Bullshit. He's not going to be used at all. They're going to, like, you know, he'll be consulted. Richard Murtaugh will call him every once in a while and ask him what the difference of time zones are. You know, it's like, sir, we're in trouble.
We're going to lighten up here. Rooney Doc. you got to give it the 5-star review here. How many stars are you giving the Rooney Doc on Amazon Prime? What do you got, Alex?
I give it a 3.5, you know, because it left a lot to be desired. You know, it wasn't an impartial view. He's obviously involved, so he's controlled the narrative, which you saw. But I do like that it gave some fucking, put some respect on the man's name, dude. It's like it put some respect on the man's name, which I do appreciate. Having legends like Thierry Henry talk up Wayne Rooney and remind people of how good he was and how great he was for this club. You know, and I think they like need to do a real version of this, which is like a freaking 5-part, 10-hour thing done impartially. So all the good, bad, and ugly, which we didn't see, about all the, you know what, you know, all the women that aren't his wife and the ups and downs and greatness that happened at United that they just fucking like didn't even talk about. You know, they only talked about England and then a lot of him with his family. So it was something, you know, it scratched an itch for me as a huge United. He's my guy.
It let me down.
Of course, it was a letdown.
It was like 3 stars being generous. It's worth a watch. Like the first like 15 minutes, like the first 15 minutes to get into it, you're like, oh my God, Rooney, like, dude, it's unbelievable. The story's unbelievable, especially the Euro 2004 when he was 18, come on the scene, transfer to United. The whole story's unbelievable. Like you said, it should have been 8-part. It should have been like The Last Dance. Should have gone into way more detail about him coming up in Everton, him playing for Everton, then the transfer to United was just kind of like, he transferred to United. Seemed to be all based on his England career, which basically failed the entire way. It was like 40 to 50% all England coverage. Then it was 20% family, 10% addressing the transgressions with his wife. And then like United got like a 15% gloss over. And like the only thing he really focused on with United was not like how he was the all-time goal scorer and won countless title after title after title and scoring titles. And, you know, like it was his career for United is unbelievable. The all-time leading goal scorer for Manchester United, breaking Sir Bobby Charlton's record. And the only real thing he had to say about United was how he was right when he told Sir Alex Ferguson that he wanted to leave.
And he was right.
About the deal.
And he was right.
No, but he stayed.
But he was so, right.
He went into his office and he basically said, who are we signing? No, but the whole, it was kind of like an F you to Sir Alex Ferguson, which I get they have bad blood. But like, you should be, the documentary should focus so much on, dude, headband Rooney,
skinhead Rooney.
There was hair plugs,
dude. Like his game dipped, and the testosterone shots with the freaking hair. Like there are so many nuances to the Wayne Rooney story. They did it such a disservice.
Driving the VW bus drunk, Wayne Rooney fighting around the world, crashing the wedding, going to MLS, getting arrested at Dallas Airport.
There's just so much. The boxing,
a bender with the grandma in Florida when he's playing for the DC United. I mean, this guy was like, it's incredible the run he had. He was like drinking 8 beers, scoring 3 goals, getting in a fight,
modern
coming
savage
back to practice. Absolute animal, smoking cigs too. The whole nines. this doc was just like.
Dude, it was a puff piece. It was a total.
You got an itch. You didn't even get near it for Wayne Rooney.
No, it was that 20 minute. I think it was.
Is like he's a legend.
He is
of the game, legend of Manchester United. I actually feel like his reputation as he's. I mean, you have that one event, like one little tiff with Sir Alex. All right, whatever. But like, dude, look at your career that you left at Manchester United. It was unbelievable. The all-time leading goal scorer for Manchester United. They didn't. Show enough of his goals. He should have gone season by season. His selflessness in playing all the different roles for the club whenever he was asked. What a player. What a legend. I just felt the doc just... It was like kind of Rooney PR, you know, playing... It was more like Rooney... Derby County featured almost as much as Manchester United, to be honest, too.
You know what gave me confidence? It just scratched the itch in terms of recognizing what kind of player he was. And I think his legend will only grow. His legend will only grow as the time passes. And I think it will inspire somebody to make that show we want. Because I know what you and I want. We want 10 hours of all of it because it's so interesting. His story is amazing. And also the time period and what he meant to this club. his role due to the selflessness of Wayne Rooney. You could talk about that. You're right. Like, he definitely had some transgressions. And, you know, the whole thing with the club.
I wouldn't address that. Be like, dude, like, that was part of it. He was, like, angry. He'd take his anger on the pitch, and then he just, like, rage. It's like, got in a ton of trouble. But
complicated man,
it
dude.
Never affected his career. Dude, unbelievable player, legend of the game, Wayne Rooney. But the doc, interesting take. But like you said, it's a two-hour thing. Good for him. You know, I just, I like the England stuff. But, like, you can't look at his career and say, and look at England and be like, this is not the crowning jewel of his career. The crowning jewel of his career is Manchester United.
No, of course.
100%. And I felt like England, it was all England.
Well, he got slayed. He got, like, the English are like, dude, the press have always had this thing where they, like, go after a player and just fucking annihilate them. And
yeah, but there was more talking about that than actually showing it. You know what I'm saying? It was more like,
but that did
his
happen.
Agent defending his, like, defending the couple and... It just felt like kind of like a, like it had a little bit of an agenda that didn't really match up with the, hey, here's my amazing career for me. Like, okay, press is one thing, but then just saying, if you just did a Rooney doc and you just said, hey, this is how amazing footballer he is, that'd be, I think, what people were looking for versus sort of trying to set the record straight on his relationship with Colleen. And, you know,
he was, honest. I agree with you. It was definitely a puff piece. He definitely like controlled the narrative, but he was honest, and that's appreciated in this modern era when so many people are full of shit. That, like, I appreciated his honesty, even though he's controlling what's being said. But, like, dude, he put it all out there.
But everyone wants to see you get in a boxing match with Bardsley, then going out and scoring.
Sorry, you just
want to
see
then...
fight that. You just want to see him fighting around the world.
You want to talk about being authentic? I want to see the authentic Wayne Rooney, dude.
Yeah, me too.
Like, yeah, dude, holy shit. That would have been awesome. Let's get into fan questions here. At MMABA13, quote, was it a win? Yes. 3 points? Yes. Did we play well? I mean, not really. Clawing to win against 10-man Brighton side doesn't exactly still me with confidence, but as always, glory, glory, Man United. At Drumline 416, quote, it's a real shame that our thoughts are, thank God we barely managed a win at home against a 10-man Brighton. Hashtag Glazers out.
Hashtag Glazers out. That's the message.
At Jamal Mota, sirs, we did our best to not win. We didn't even have 50% possession in the second half, despite being a man up. We pressed properly for 2 minutes and bagged a goal and a red card. Why is it so hard to do that for at least half the game? Until the next one, hashtag lasers out. Why is this so hard?
I don't know.
Not to speak. If I speak, I am in big trouble. In big trouble. And I don't want to be in big trouble.
We don't use the soundboard enough, so I got to use that more often. See, I don't... It was, you know, we're grasping at what we got, and what we got was a clean sheet, 3 points, and on to the next one. Bruno scored a nice goal. Ronaldo scored a great goal. Lick your wounds. On to the next one.
Yeah, like, I do agree. If you take it on the day, like, great win, get the three. You look at that top four table, you look at the win, great. But then you look at the leaks, and you look at the boardroom and the interim, and then the just everything around the club. It just feels like it's weighing on those shirts on the pitch a little bit. At Mike United Mets, 14 games since Ralph took over, only one loss in 90 minutes. Has felt painful because of the draw and loss on pens and the other five draws. But this run pretty easily could have seen 9 or 10 wins. The law of averages says this team might take off on a run. How far will United go in the Champions League? Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. Alex, how far will we go in the Champions League?
I don't know. This team is Jekyll and Hyde. I think Ralph used that language. It's pretty appropriate. You know, usually that's like a 50-50 equation. Some of these games, we haven't even gotten 50 minutes of good performance. We could easily get knocked out. We could easily go to the final. You know, this team could go either way. Who the hell? It's like, we could get the shit kicked out of us by Atletico. Or we could, like, go on a magic run. Counterattack football, you know, like, kick ass. De Gea doesn't let anything in. We just go clean sheet world, you know, but... It's all about, like, intensity and attitude and motivation. And the most concerning thing is, like, today, the testimonial wording that was said by the commentator was damning because it was so on point. It was so on point. It was like they were walking. It was insane. This is the first out. They're like walking around. That is still worrisome.
All right. I predicted at the beginning of the year.
What did you predict? Tell me again.
That we would win the Champions League. I predicted it. I kind of felt like with Varane coming in that this team, we're not going to have the consistency. So if you run it back, I said we can't win the league because we're not going to have the consistency, but we have the talent to win the Champions League on any given day. 538.com, shitty, 28% to win it. Bayern Munich, 20%. Scousebastards, 14%. Ajax, 12%. Another argument for Ten Hag. Chelsea, 10%. PSG, 5%. We're down then less than a percent.
PSG below Ajax, by the way.
If there's going to be any positive look for this team, I think we're going to see the same thing in the English Premier League. But on a European night, we got Bruno Fernandes. We got Cristiano Ronaldo. We got Paul Pogba. We got David De Gea. We got Varane. We got some players out there, some big boys who have played there and know what it's like. I think we can do some damage. And so if we get some momentum at the right time, we beat Leeds, we show up against Atletico away, maybe like a 1-0 win, have a big performance. I think we can go deep in the Champions League. We obviously need to get a little lucky as far as who gets knocked out by whom. But I mean, there's a lot of bottlers around there. You know, PSG, bottle. City, bottle. United. We got Ronaldo. Anything's possible. Let's go. Winning the Champions League. You heard it here. From drawing and losing the Middlesbrough on penalties to winning the Champions League, there would be nothing would wrap up this season better than that, huh?
No.
Like you lose to Villarreal, then you beat, you know, win the Champions League.
But we take a step back in these last five games. It's like we've had matches where we played well at times, not killed them off, not gotten the result, not gotten the points. Play games where we haven't played well and gotten a result. We have like this whole mix. So it's like, oh, I want us to put together a real game. Today, we had some moments, but we really got the result. Now we need to get a performance and a result, sir. We need to start putting both on the field. This Leeds was a big one on the road, Ellen Road. This has been soft serve FC. That is going to be a tough place to play. So the boys bet to be up for it.
I'm very excited for this weekend and even more. I'm buzzing for Atletico. I'm buzzing. Knockout stage Champions League.
Can't wait
for this club. You got to enjoy it. You got to enjoy it. Just don't embarrass yourselves out there. That's what I'd tell them in the team talk. Just don't embarrass. Hey, Harry, looking at you.
Just keep it together.
Harry Maguire, looking at you.
Just don't get set off.
Hey, you know how much we paid for you, buddy? Don't embarrass yourself. Don't embarrass yourself, all right? That's it. That's the podcast. You like the American Red Devils? We are for fans, by fans. Check out our Discord. You can get an invite if you go on our Twitter. There's an invite link pinned there. Also, check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. Support us on Patreon, www.patreon.com/americaredevils. Drop a review wherever you listen. It goes a long way for us getting found organically. Just two guys and a dog doing the podcast. Alex still testing positive for COVID. Can't do the bunker pods yet, but we'll be back soon enough and be done with this remote BS. Sir, tell us the top 10 cities last 7 days.
Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Sanford, Florida. Number two, Houston, Texas. Floral Park, Florida. Actually, it's Floral Park, New York. Excuse me. Amsterdam, Netherlands. Ponte Vedra, Beach, Florida, Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, Denver, Colorado, Bangkok, Thailand, Norristown, Pennsylvania, and last but not least, Las Vegas, Nevada. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. So we've been saying it's always darkest before the dawn for a long time. Part of me thinks it could still get darker, but there could be optimists in my lungs. I can also see the glass half full. Sure, I think it starts with a big performance on the weekend, and then the results, you know, are it's big teams, but it starts against Leeds. I think if you get a big win, talk about runs, sir. We need momentum. We need momentum.
We ain't going nowhere.
I wish I had that. Actually, I wish I had that to close. I don't know.
Yeah, it's Manchester United for life.
Yeah, bro.
Manchester United for life.
That's right.
And you know what? That's why we're Muppets. Still think we can win the Champions League. Let's go. We thought we were going to win the FA Cup about a week ago. How'd that go?
I'll tell you what. Don't book your flight.
I'll tell you, the life of a Manchester United fan, but it's been a blast. Podcast is so much fun. You know, the hardest part is watching some of these games, but let's just hope we have a good one on Sunday. Hope everyone has a great week, sir. Take us out.
Bruno, Bruno, Bruno. Have a good one, everybody.